Would you pray with me? Holy God, thank you for your word. It's difficult at times to understand what it really means for our lives today. But we pray that you will give us the wisdom to listen, to think about it, the wisdom to understand the truth that you have in it for us. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Well, here we go again. Every 3 years, this passage from Matthew crops up again and haunts preachers who have to preach on it. How could Jesus say that those who only worked 1 hour should be paid the same as those who worked all day in the hot sun? That's just not right. Well, I invite you to sit with this story with me for a few minutes. I want to ask you to keep your minds open because I think it does have something to teach us. It certainly has a truth, or it wouldn't be in the Bible. It has a truth regarding our destiny as God's children. And it has a lot to say about how we live as God's children. Now, when we listen to this parable, we tend to think that those who waited around until 5 p.m. were there because they were lazy. We say with the owner, "Why are you still here?" The implication is that they're still there because they didn't want to work. Grant, don't you all think that way when you read this story? Oh, wait, they're waiting for welfare to help them. You know, it's easy to think that way because pretty much everybody does. It's the prevalent thought. But listen to their response to the owner's question. "Because no one has hired us." They remind the owner and us that they cannot make work happen. They could not walk into the local Panera Bread restaurant and start to work unless somebody hired them and taught them. Now, we know there are many who wait on street corners or at that spot in town where people congregate to wait for someone to come by and hire them for the day. We know because towns have been trying to shut those places down because it makes the town look seedy. And then the absolute shocker comes at the end, when those workers, for 1 hour, get the same amount in their paycheck as those who began at 6 a.m., at 9 a.m., at noon, and at 3 p.m. And they declare to the owner, "It's not fair." And would we not agree with them? And then the owner makes two very specific responses in this story. Or I should say Jesus makes them. And we need to hear them in order to understand it. They tell us what this story is all about. First, the owner says, "Hey, you and I agreed this morning that I would pay you a decent wage for the day," which turned out to be a denarius, which is the wage of a good wage for a day's work. "And I have lived up to my word. I've lived up to the bargain I made with you." Second, and then this is the key to understanding the parable. "Am I not free to do what I want with what I have? Or are you begrudging me my generosity?" You know, we like to look at the world and life through the lens of justice. Am I getting what I deserve? Are others getting what they deserve? And Jesus, on the other hand, is suggesting that, "Hey, take those glasses off and try these glasses on." Glasses that have the lens of generosity in them. John Muir, the famous naturalist, once wrote, Not in God's wilds will you ever hear the sad moan, all is vanity. No, we are paid 1,000 times for our toil. And after a single day spent outdoors in the atmosphere of strength and beauty, one could still say that should death come, even without any hope of another life, thank you for the most glorious gift, and pass on. Now, while Muir is talking about the gift of an actual world, he does capture the essence of the giftedness of life. Each life is a gift. Reverend John Claypool once wrote, God created the world and humanity not to get something for God's self, but to give something of God's self. In other words, bottomless generosity is the source out of which all creation comes. And because of generosity, the truth is, none of us, if we look deeply into our lives, can claim that we've earned this existence by our own efforts. Just as the workers could not create work for themselves and relied on the generosity of the owners for their own and their family's livelihood, so we must understand that our very life is a gift of grace that pays more than 1,000 times for our toil. And this needs to play out in our lives so much more than it does. Think of the healthcare debate going on in the halls of the Senate right now. We all were given the life, gift of life, without even asking for it. No one said, you want to be born? And we had the option to say, no or yes. So we came without any choice on our own part. We were born into a family, not of our own choosing. Not that doesn't mean we wouldn't choose them, but they are not of our own choosing. And so what that means is that we were touched with a certain genetic makeup that we couldn't change. We were born into families that lived in certain areas of our world, again, not of our own choosing. Because of this, our bodies and lives were subject to the culture, the pollutions of that area. To say that health care is not a right is wrong and causes many people, because of the circumstances of their lives, to have to live a life of tragedy because of decisions they had no power in making. Therefore, I believe that the parable teaches us that we need to be generous and offer health care to all people. The workers hired at 6 a.m. were happy to receive the offer of a job. The hope they had awakened with that morning had been filled. I've got a job, yay! And I'm going to make a decent wage for it. But rather than looking at the owner and giving thanks for his keeping a covenant with him and paying what he said that he would, they looked sideways to see how much the people who were blessed that day got. And they began to compare. The minute you begin to compare, solidarity is lost. The minute you begin to compare, competition and enmity begin. And we're all guilty of it. British historian Arnold Toynbee once wrote, the penalty of affluence is that it cuts you off from the common lot, common experience, common fellowship. In a sense, it outlaws one automatically from one's birthright of membership in the great human family. Now, replace affluence with comparing your life with others. The minute one begins to compare their lives with others, it cuts one off from the common lot, common experience, and common fellowship. In a sense, it outlaws one automatically from one's birthright of membership in the great human family. The quote still works. It still works. If you want to live a life of misery, do what some of those 6 a.m. workers did. And you'll surely find the misery that you seek. Because life isn't fair. You will also sow the seeds of anger and discontent with those around you. Listen to the anger of those who would lose health care if the current bill is being considered by the Senate is passed. Just because they have had health problems, in many cases, not of their own making, and insurance companies would not insure them or would place a price so high on the insurance that they wouldn't be able to afford it. It's not a path to peace. It's a path that leads to injustice, that leads to anxiety, to anger, and ultimately to hopelessness. Can we break this mold? Yes, we can. If we let this passage speak to us. If we work to reconnect with that overwhelming gift of grace that God has given to each of us. I've been interested in reading about the recent experiment going on in Finland. A country that not only has universal health care, but beginning in January of this year, the government began giving the equivalent of $594 a month to 2,000 unemployed people between the ages of 25 and 58 for 2 years. This figure is just shy of half the cost of a 900 square foot apartment building in Helsinki. And it was started to find out if Finland's social security system should be reformed. And many would say, it's going to cause people to be lazy. They're not going to want to work. Chris Weller, writing for the website businessinsider.com, says about this, basic income is foremost a solution to poverty. Advocates say the system gives poor people exactly what they lack, cash. It puts money in their pocket to fix a leaky roof, to buy a car to get to work, or save up for emergency funds. It's not a left to live on, but it prevents people from slipping through the cracks. With that financial security comes a different additional benefit, says Scott Santons, a basic income advocate and writer. He has been receiving a basic income for the last couple of years from crowdfunding site. He says basic income redistributes power into the middle class, namely to turn down unappealing jobs and promote trust. Basic income says everyone should be given a minimum amount of trust because the way we currently use pieces of paper to measure and distribute trust is fatally flawed. Without it, he says, offering the example of supermarkets being full of food while millions of people, hungry people, can't access it. Everyone is worth enough to trust to enable their basic survival. And so far, it seems that it has greatly lessened the anxiety of those 2,000 people, and that it has also not caused people to not want to work. Can it work? I don't know. Time will tell. But I see that it says to people, your life is important. You matter, as opposed to being turned down time and time again until finally you just give up because you can't stand being rejected. And that last thought makes the person feel that they don't matter, that nobody does care about them. The kind of living, this living with a sense of grace, takes intention because it's not the way the world works. We all know that. All you have to do is look at the commercials on the internet and on television. You can see this is the case. Everywhere we're being asked to compare. Compare what we have with what the next person has, and we want the better one. Or the bigger one. We want the newer model. Compare what you make with what others make in money and investments. Compare what you can do against what other people can do. all that comparing does is drain us of joy, of enjoying what we have. And it tires us out. When we are tired of comparison, that's when we can find happiness and peace that we so desire. That's when we can remember that God loves us so much that God gave us life. That is when we find our inner peace. No, life is not fair. And there are people who will take advantage. But when we're attuned to the gift of grace in our life, it doesn't matter if it's fair or not. What we can do is try to make it bearable for ourselves and those in need around us. It doesn't matter that there are people who have more or are higher up in the ladder of the corporate ladder than we are. We just have to remember God loves us and gave us just as much life at birth as God gave all of those who have more or are higher. Now you might be saying, "Ah, this is all fine and dandy, Tom, but you know it ain't going to happen." You're right. But you know what? It can happen in your life. And after all, isn't that what you want it to happen most? Amen.